The Spotlight. It's a radio show where volunteers share stories of inspiration, share their journey, express their feelings, and tell us all about those who have touched their lives. And we play their favorite music. It is The Spotlight, Fridays 2 to 3 p.m. on Radio Mariah.
Welcome to the Spotlight program on Radio Mariah. It's a show that highlights UN volunteers who share the stories and experiences working as volunteers in South Sudan. Today, we are spotlighting Brahim Alai, who is a specialist public health pharmacist at the United Nations Mission in South Sudan. Now, Brahim holds a Bachelor of Pharmacy degree honors from the University of Sierra Leone, a Master's of Public Health degree from Njala University, and is currently a candidate for the postgraduate diploma in logistics and supply management at Amni University in India, and it's an online course. Over the years, he has worked as both a hospital pharmacist and lead pharmacist for importation companies, and served as a team leader in driving effective pharmaceutical supply chain and ensuring effective pharmaceutical service delivery. Brahim is also a youth advocate in Manysphere and an alumni of the Young African Leadership Initiative, YALI, the West African cohort, and he is the pioneer and founding president of the Youth Pharmacist Group, Sierra Leone, and a founding member of the African Young Pharmacist Group. Brahim Alai, welcome to the Spotlight program.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Now, you came to South Sudan as a volunteer. What was the feeling on the first day you arrived or reported to work?
Well, it was an exciting one. Mm. And, you know, anticipating to move to a different destination, a different country, a country that you've heard about, you know, considering the time you applied and you got contacted and you've already been able to identify where you'll be going. So that anticipation is there. You want to arrive and see what's the culture there. You want to see what is happening, how people volunteering in that part of the world are doing and how they are able to execute the skills they have. And, you know, so it was an exciting one. I wanted to actually explore to see how it feels like being away from home. And looking at the fact that since I completed university, I've only worked in my country. I haven't worked outside, be it for volunteering or other purposes. So to me, it was an exciting one because I wanted to explore to see how, you know, changing the environment and working in a different, you know, geographical location could feel like.
And did you find South Sudan the way you expected it? Because I'm so sure you had stories about South Sudan and maybe you did some research.
Generally, I think I had an open mind because that was one thing I prayed about. Mm-hmm. And in as much as I've never been here, whatever the stories I might have heard, most of them, it's something we have also experienced in my country, like what they were going through. You know, I've heard them. And so I had an open mind that, oh, I mean, if I've had such experience in my country, even when I was a young person, going to this country, they've also experienced similar things, war to be specific. I mean, let me just have an open mind and see what their own situation will be like and how I'll be able to execute my job perfectly. So I had an open mind. I didn't fix up my mind as to what exactly, I mean, the atmosphere would be like and what would be the expectation. But I just made my mind open and tried to, I mean, have a very clear conscience and very good consideration.
Now, Brahim, what recollections do you have about your first day as a UNV in South Sudan?
It was a bit strange. I remember when I landed at the airport, there had no communication how to get onto those who had to receive me. And I was a bit lucky. I had to find somebody who was coming to Tompin also, whom I met at the airport. And I had to stand by him. He was the one who rescued me. And mm-hmm. It was through him that we had to make communication out to the dispatch team, you know, who went to pick up us. And when they pick us, and initially, you know, before this time, when you come, you have to do quarantine at Diplomat. So this feeling I had at Diplomat that, is this where I'm going to stay permanently? Mm-hmm. Until when we started the online training, this one they do normally when new arrivals come. Mm-hmm. You know, so we are told the accommodations where we're going to stay, you know, this how do they call this accommodation?
The prefab.
The prefab, you know. So I was beginning to reflect. Yes, we have prefab back home. Mm-hmm. There is a particular unit within the Ministry of Health where most of these UN agencies that give support to the ministry work. Mm-hmm. And they have a lot of prefab containers where they work. And I've worked in this kind of setting once. So I was beginning to imagine, oh, okay, the prefabs that I've worked in, they are conducive. They are very good ACs. They can be accommodating also. So this is where I'm going to stay. So there was going to be some variation as to where I've been staying back home, where I stayed for the 4 days in diplomats, and I'll go in to stay in a prefab. So, but then, as I told you initially, mm-hmm. in everything, I've just tried to open my mind that I'm here for a purpose. I'm here to be able to give back what I've learned, what I'm able to execute, and the kind of skills I have. I mean, so let me open my mind. I don't want to get anything attached or carry in my mind, you know, as a distraction. Mm-hmm. So let me just focus whatever the accommodation is, whether it's different from where I've been staying back home, or the accommodation I had for the 4 days I was in diplomat. Let me just make up my mind and, I mean, be okay with the prefab. So it was strange, but I was able to make up my mind and decide to adjust, definitely.
And as you are adjusting to the situation, you came miles away from home, from your country to South Sudan. Has the absence of your family affected you in any way?
Partially it does, considering movement, to be specific. In the morning, before leaving, you have something, probably you will not even go to the kitchen, you have a meal, you know. Go to work in the evening, you come and meet family, you interact, you know. But now we only do that through phone, video calls. So there is small a bit of difference, but when you think about what you are here for, you just try to relieve your mind of such, situations. But initially, it was strange. You know, you try to find the best way to adapt to understanding the situation, mm-hmm. and know that you are here for a purpose, and that purpose is what you should work towards. In as much as your communication with family back home is not being interrupted, I mean, you just have to find a way to adapt and do your bit.
Now let's go for a musical break. Tell us about your first song of the day.
Adom. Adom is a song done by Diana Hamilton, a Ghanaian, and she made some emphasis, though it's done in our local dialect and mixed with English. Of course, I do not understand the dialect. It's a Ghanaian mm-hmm. word, but it's inspiring and it gives you hope, you know. So that's the first one. Probably if you play it and you get to get the lines, you know, that she used in her music.
Okay.
That I've gone through a lot, but grace sustained me. I mean, so if you think about the pathways you've gone through mm-hmm. as a young person, you know, somebody who've grown up in a war country, you've been able to go through education and onto this stage, you are back into another country who have experienced war. You want to see how you be able to impact them positively, you know. So that is one thing, coupled with other reasons why the song is a favorable song to me, you know.
Sustained me. My test is now a testimony. So the essence of my praise is centered on your grace. Adum, adum, adum. It was you, my lawyer in that courtroom. It was you, my soldier on that battlefield. So the essence of my praise is centered on your grace. Adum, adum, adum. Hey, adum, nyame, adum, 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 tina metiasi. Hey, atumo nyame, atumo.
is you and just your grace. You have changed my story. Protocol breaker, you made a way. You turned my mourning into dancing. It is you and just your grace.
Well, you're listening to The Spotlight on Radio Miraya. It's a program that highlights UN volunteers who share their stories and experiences working as volunteers in South Sudan. Now, Brima, what attracted you to become a UNV?
So it's been a long one. I remember when I was a young child, we had war in our country. So normally, we used to get these troops, military troops, going to our country. I remember when I was in primary school, there was a military guy who actually befriended my dad. Mm-hmm. And they were very close. He was part of the ECOMOC. He will always come, mostly in the evenings, to our house, and we interact. So I used to ask my dad, why is this man coming away from his country to our own country? Why? What's so special? Mm-hmm. And my dad would tell me, beside him being my friend, he's a friend to our country. He came to fight and to secure our land so that we have peace. You know, so to me at that time, I didn't understand whether he was on a voluntary basis or he came to, as a support from his country, you know. So I started growing interest about people leaving their own country to go into another man's country to support. And later on, this thing continued. Even when I was in school, I remember we used to have a camp, a military camp close to our school, our primary school. During lunch hours, they would encourage us to go there, interact with them, and, you know, those kind of things. And later on, along the way, I grew interest in volunteering. So I had to get myself enrolled. We used to have a children's forum network. It's a forum that deals with children and mm-hmm. their affairs, how they make advocacies for our young children, you know. So that group is purely an advocacy and voluntary group because we are not paid. Mm-hmm. So I became very committed to the Children's Forum Network. And through that forum, we had some other volunteers who are coming from other countries who would join us and who also used to participate in other countries and other forums in the way to promote child rights, you know, and how to advocate for young people, you know, how to promote the interests of young people. So I that was the platform that actually developed my interest in volunteerism, and that was the platform that developed my interest for advocacy. Mm-hmm. I built on that one even when I went to the university. I remember we formed a community-based organization we call Youth AFLIM Development Organization. It was a community-based but a purely voluntary organization that we formed. And we used that platform also to reach out to several communities when there were activities. For instance, when there are elections, we see what we do as young people to reach out to our own peers, how to influence them to think positively, mm-hmm. and so many other things we did through that. And also, I remember when I was in the university also, we had an organization that it's had the voluntary name itself, the Youth Aid Volunteers. And that was pioneered and supported by UNDP, I can remember. And That organization was formed in 2013. I joined them in 2013. And by 2014, we had an Ebola outbreak in my country. So through that, Youth Aid volunteers were able to support in our own way in the eradication of the Ebola virus. And so some of us were taken into disease surveillance because of our health background. Some of our colleagues were into contact tracing. So we did our own best through volunteering. So, and towards the end of my university, when I completed, I remember when I was also doing my internship, I came to realize that one of my lecturers, who I had in the university, was a volunteer. Yeah, so we had a program when I was discussing with her, and she told me, I came here as a volunteer. I was like, wow, I have been doing this volunteerism from my childhood onto university, but I never knew we also have volunteer lecturers. She said, yes, Sam, I came as a volunteer. And she had to take me through what are the benefits of volunteering. You know, through her volunteering, she came as a volunteer, but later she was, after her contract, I think, expired, she now had some other opportunities, and she has now stayed in our country. You know, so I was impressed. I remember, again, even during the very time I was doing my internship, my preceptor, of course, I had two preceptors whom I was working with. They also had to take us through, together with my other colleagues who they were supervising, if we have been trying volunteering activities. So I was trying to connect the discussion I had with my lecturer, that she came as a volunteer, now she's staying, to what my preceptors were telling us. And so that was the time I actually started gaining more inspiration, that now, okay, let me start exploring how can I go about the volunteer. But at that time, they didn't know about UNV detail, because the only thing they told me about was to be looking online for volunteering programs, if there are any means of volunteering in other places. But it was not about UNV at that time. So I remember they showed us some other platforms, you know, to be searching, for looking for training courses, etc. So when I completed and I was now working with the Minister of Health, I used to have a mentor who, he was not a volunteer but at that time, but he had served as a volunteer, as a UNV at some point in time. So he was working in my country and he was giving support to one of the departments in the hospital, the HIV department. So, but since I was handling all drugs within the hospital, anytime he comes to that department, he will reach out to me to see how their own commodities are. So anytime he comes around, he will tell me, my man, you need to move. You need to move out of
the
comfort zone.
Don't stay in just one place.
Yes, you have to move. And he used to inspire me. To me, he was a mentor. He would guide me, give me all the tips that I require, you know, to move on. And so he had to take me through UNV, that he had served as a UNV. If I've heard about that, I said, no, I've never heard. At that time, there was an advert for COVAX, this COVID vaccination. So he said, no, okay, let me share the platform with you. You can apply, register, get your details, you know, on the platform, and you'll be following up to see if there are job adverts so that you move out. The kind of passion I see in you and the kind of discussions we normally have and the way you've been into volunteering from childhood and to now, I think you can explore and add more to your. So that was the point I came to know about UNV, and I had to apply. He guided me how to fill the forms, you know, and therein I started applying. And of course, it was not that easy. Well, you know, you will not just apply at once and you get enlisted.
So it has to take time.
Yes, I continuously kept applying, looking for the right job that I'll be able to fit myself into, you know. So that was how the inspiration started from childhood, you know, got myself into volunteering until the time I actually came to know about UNV.
Okay, and here you are as a UNV in South Sudan.
Yes.
And what are the things that you feel profoundly touched by as a volunteer?
One of them is this. You look around, you see many other colleagues who've left their countries to be here, to volunteer. You are not different from them. And it begins to ring your mind that the same passion you had with an open mind to come and do your own part is the same they have. So mingling with them, coming across other UNVs, give you the courage and the perseverance. You get more interested in the job. And also, having been into it, though at different levels, you know you have been volunteering, though this one is different, but that passion, that zeal that you've been having in mind to volunteer, be it community-based or otherwise. If you still recall them, then the strength will be there. So these are the things I try to reflect on. That yes, I've been doing this. Yes, mm-hmm. It was at a different pace, but I still need to rekindle it and do it here also. And looking around, also seeing colleagues who are very energetic, volunteering in their own different sections, it also inspires you and gives you the courage to stay and give your own beat.
Let's have some more music. What is your second choice for the day?
Stand Strong. It's a music done by Davido, which it's a street gospel. Mm-hmm. Yes, he inspires young people. The song goes about himself, but you can use it for yourself also to inspire you. That whatever the challenge, you have to stand strong to overcome. You know, in summary, to be able to overcome whatever the trials or challenges that you're going through, you have to stand strong and believe in yourself.
Even though your body full of bite marks from all them canines, steady moving, I'm just living life. And so many people in my business, so many juking eyes. My fears are easy as a face now. In the front of my head, steady chasing my paper, sipping my tail with no chaser. My steps are guided by Jehovah. I'm 44 looking over. Then no fist stop us, I know that. And every show is a short time. Cause I stand strong. Baby, you no go minus. Baby, you LME 9 plus. Big fish flow like the ocean. Stand strong, ATBG day my back on. Obi O L M E 9 plus, can't deny my devotion.
Cause I stand strong,
Obi O
Noble minus, Obi O L M E 9 plus, can't deny my devotion.
Oh, look in my eye, you see the money and the fame and success, but you really don't know what's going on in my life. No pleasure comes from pain. No money fall like rain. This thing they cross my grave. But it's all love. My fears are easy as a face mask. In the front of my head. Steady chasing my paper. Sipping my tail with no chaser. My steps are guided by Jehovah. And my mama looking over. Yes, we are standing in order. And that is the love of the land. I stand strong. Obi O no go minus. Obi O LME 9 plus. Big fish flow like the ocean. Oh, I stand strong. Take me to my back. Obi O LME 9 plus. Can't deny my devotion.
You're listening to the Spotlight program on Radio Muraya, and today we are spotlighting Brahima Lahai, who is a specialist health pharmacist at the United Nations Mission in South Sudan. Now, Brahima, tell us about your most memorable moments as a volunteer.
Yes, memorable moments. Let me recall. I remember when I came. The first 4 days, of course, the laws that were given to us that you should not move out. So I was scared. Mm-hmm. And so I was just staying in diplomat. I could not even move out of the diplomat conference until the time I was in my accommodation, my transit. So I remember the first day I went out of Tompin. Mm-hmm. That was memorable for me. And it was a pre-independence for our country. Our independence was about four or five days away, and it was within the same month that we had Easter. So I had a colleague who said, no, you've been here all along, you've not moved out. Today I want you to just move with me. Let's go to UN House and meet some other, you know, Sierra Leoneans and just get some fun together. So it was, for me, it was memorable, because since I came, I was just in here, I could not move. I was imagining how outside would be like, and you know, so that was one very memorable moment for me. And I remember another one was the day I left my transit. Mm-hmm. You know, because I was just thinking, how long am I going to be here? Because there was a bit some delay. And, you know, so when I finally moved to my permanent accommodation, I remember I had some, a bit of, because when I was in the transit, it was like, you are not still settled. You are still not settled. There are things you need to do. You have to pack up your items and try to be, you know, in a very good position. So that day I was a bit, joyous and comfortable that now, okay, I can have somewhere that I'll call home, and this is where I'm going to stay. Let me just adjust the accommodation to my own best way, you know, so that I'll be able to stay comfortable.
Now, being a volunteer back home and now coming to South Sudan, was there anybody in your circle that had ever done anything like this before?
No. No. So, often, back home, I think it has to do with who will guide you, who will tell you. It's when you have the awareness that will motivate you into going into it. Yes, I told you, the time I came to know about deep volunteering, beside the ones we used to do at community levels, mm-hmm. was when I was out of university now. And that one was not too detailed. It was just like the normal, go on the site, look for voluntary jobs or something and apply, mm-hmm. you know. So for UNV to be specific, I only came to know about it about 1.5 years ago or so, almost 2 years now, you know. And so my cycle at that time had no knowledge about moving out of their country to another country.
Other countries to volunteer?
Yes.
Okay. And how have your parents dealt with this situation? You moving from your country, going to another new country to be a volunteer?
Yes, so one thing I can say about my parents is this. They are always looking up to me. You know, when you have a child and you've given the child the best you can and you now expect the child to be able to stand up and do what? So they look forward to me and they believe in whatever decision I take with their guidance, that whatever I do, it's in the best interest of what will bring a better result. So I remember when I told them I was moving, even the day I had the interview, mm-hmm. and my dad was like, you are taking an interview for what? And I told him, it's something I want to go and do outside Sierra Leone. And he said, okay. So at that point, you've already created something in their mind that if this happens for me, mm-hmm. I'll be leaving. You know, so you start preparing their mind from that. So when finally I actually got this opportunity that I'll be moving out, they were okay, they were comfortable. It's very clear that it will take some time for them to get the fine balance between the time they've been seeing me regularly and now we only talk on phone, you know. But they accepted it willingly because they know whatever I am doing, I have been very well programmed. I'm the kind of supportive young person, you know. I am looking forward to my goals, and you know, so they accepted it in good faith, actually.
What would you have been if you were not what you are today? Did you have any other dreams apart from
volunteering
or
the profession?
Or being, yeah.
When I was in junior school, actually, primary school. When I was in primary school, I remember I had an interview with somebody who was asking, what would I like to be? And we had a very famous journalist back home who used to report for BBC. I think that was a person I just remembered. I want to be this person. Mm-hmm. You know, so to me, journalism was one thing I was thinking about. But along the way, when I went to junior secondary school, there are times in our school, in our home, your grades in certain subjects will influence the pathway you take. Mm-hmm. So that happened to me when I was in junior school, my grades in the sciences influenced me to go to the sciences. So I had to take the part of science. And in science, you have the only option either to go to engineering, medicine, pharmacy, nursing, you know. So after high school in the sciences, I had no option but to just go into the medical field, and I had to find myself as a pharmacist. But my other option was actually journalism.
Okay, that's interesting. Are you happy with how you've spent your time? Can you look at the point of 50 and say that you have really spent your time well?
Sure, God willing. Yeah, because at least from the time I was born to now, well, I can't say I've achieved a lot, because life itself is it's a greater process. But I think the things I've done at the stages where I was supposed to do them, I'm comfortable, you know. My childhood, I had very good memories, you know, made very good impacts in my schools, you know, and in my communities, which I can be positively remembered for. And in the profession where I find myself back home, the things I've been doing, which I think positively will impact people and those around me. You know, I can remember those things, and I believe these are good memories that I've created. So I am very hopeful, God willing, when I get to 50, and with the strength and the grace, the things I'll be able to do before 50, I hope and pray that they'll also be impactful, so that when I get to 50, I'll think I've done something memorable or something that will be comfortable enough to remember.
Well, let's have more music. What's your third choice for today?
There is this Hallelujah melody by Nathan Albasi. Of course, it's a challenge, but his own version of the challenge is something very, very loving, and it's something I listen more often, you know. I don't know if you want me to sing it or I'm not good at singing. I have this odd voice. I love the song, but then maybe the way the tonation he has singing it, I can't produce it. But it's something I like verily.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Spotlight program on Radio Miriah, and today we are spotlighting Brahima Lahai, who is a UNV at the United Nations Mission in South Sudan. Now, Brahima, how does the prospect of being a volunteer in often hard conditions suit you?
It's about the mind, just as I've been saying. And I can't say. Well, my country is much better now. We also experience war, and I can clearly say I felt the pain. I also felt the hard situation back home, even though I was a young person. But I was able to adapt through and pull through that situation, even when I was under parental care. Here now, I am still supervised by parents, but I do things on my own. So I have the obligation to be able to adapt and confine within situation where I find myself. So whatever the situation is in South Sudan, I've made up my mind to be able to adapt to it. That if I can adapt to a situation when I was a young boy, mm-hmm. I should be able to adapt to a situation when I'm now a grown-up man and try to understand the dynamics. This is what we've met them through. I mean, it's not their own wish also, but if this is the condition we've met the country in and we're here to support them, I mean, I should be able to adapt and be able to fit myself into whatever this situation is and give my own best.
Now, working as a volunteer in South Sudan and at the community level in your country, do you have any survival skills that could be useful to other people who would love to be like you?
Yes. So one, it's about being open-minded. You don't have to have a fixed mindset. Mm-hmm. Have an open mindset with a positive dream. Okay, what we call positive mindset. When you have that one, mm-hmm. you'll be able to have the passion to go into volunteering, be it advocacy or any form of volunteering. Having an open mindset, you'll be able to adapt to whatever situation that you come across. And another way I think an adaptive skill or survival skill could be knowing some basics about where you find yourself. For instance, if you are a journalist or health worker, be able to grasp the knowledge needed in that particular area, because that is what is expected of you in your volunteering to create impact in that sphere. Yeah, so you have to have some control over your area of professionalism also. Mm-hmm. That is what will make you pull through. You can go to a community, for instance, as a volunteer on a humanitarian basis, and you don't know the basic humanitarian skills. You don't know how to, you know, get people on board, or like a counselor, you don't know how to counsel. So you have to have some grasp of what you actually learned as a professional. You know, it can be formal education or informal, even if you didn't go through the formal education. But then to survive as a volunteer, you have to know what you want to communicate or what you want to volunteer for. You know, so to me, those are the things. You open your mind, don't have any fixed expectation that this is how, when I get to this setting, this is what I should expect or this is what should happen to me. If you have that in mind and you have a contrary view or something happened differently, it'll have a negative impact on you. Mm-hmm. But if you open up your mind that whatever happens, I should be able to pull through with the skills that I have, then whatever happens before, you'll be able to survive it.
And you can be able to adjust to any situation.
Sure.
Now, let me not describe South Sudan as a very hard country or a desert. But what if you were stranded in a desert? What luxury would you carry?
What would I carry?
Yes.
Food or...
It's your choice.
So... I think water. Water could be wanting. To be stranded, it's a difficult question. But then it's about how you survive. Mm-hmm. Your survival is paramount. So if it is a planned journey, then you have to plan ahead. But if it is something that's happened abruptly, then you have to look for a solution. Maybe you are asked for an option of what you think you would need. Then I will just need water.
So water is what you want to carry.
If you are asked for a single thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay. How would you describe your relationship with the community that you're working with currently?
So starting with this, well, I work within a confined section within the pharmacy. So my section as a whole, I think it has been a good one, the section where I work. I mean, we have communication and wish to me is okay. We have some level of leadership pathway, wish to me is okay. And of course, the people I deal with, the clients, I mean, the patients I deal with, and to me, some has been, greater percentage have been receptive, because you know, when you are dealing with patients who are coming to the clinic with different, their minds are different, people are not comfortable, they're not feeling well, so you have to be very, I mean, humble or whatever to handle them.
Mm-hmm.
Your communication, your tonation, how you talk to them, you have to be very mindful, because right. people go in there are not comfortable, you know. So to me, I always try my best to be able to communicate in the best clear way, be able to let people know that having an illness does not mean you cannot recover or you cannot live or you cannot do what you are able to do or what you are destined to do, you know. So far, I've been having very good interaction with my own community, as I can call it that way, and for me it's okay, because it's just about replicating your professional skills, whether in your country or in somewhere else, how you communicate as a professional, you know, and how you be able to do your counseling when you give your drugs to patients, what are their expectations, how they should take them, mm-hmm. etc. So by that, you'll be able to establish very strong interpersonal relationship, and you know, you have very good feedbacks.
Now, what is your final song for the day?
So, See What the Lord Has Done For Me. It's also another gospel done by Nathaniel Bassey.
You are listening to The Spotlight on Radio Muriah, and we are spotlighting Brahima Lahai, who is a UNV at the United Nations Mission in South Sudan. Now, every guest on The Spotlight is given a chance to choose a book. What book would you love to read in your fields or during your assignments?
I don't do novels often. So probably if there's any book in supply chain management.
Okay.
Yes, anyone. That will at least, because that's one area I'm very interested in. Anything that has to do, especially pharmaceutical supply chain management.
Okay, so that's...
So maybe, I'm sure you might be thinking of me calling a novel or something. Mm-hmm, I'm not too into those ones.
As you go out to more assignments, what kind of message would you like to give others who would love to be volunteers like you?
You have to firstly make up your mind
mm-hmm.
that being a volunteer... Those kind of big expectations that you have, the money that you want, volunteering is not about money. It's about a passion from the mind and the heart that I want to come in and give my own path. And you have to also bear it in mind that you have to have a skill,
mm-hmm.
something that you be able to sell out. Because you will not just come as a volunteer, you don't have somewhere to start, you don't know anything. So coming as a volunteer, you need to learn something, a skill, be it formal or informal skill, that you be able to show forward. And you don't have to put too much expectations ahead. You know, have an open mind, and when you come, whatever the situation is, be able to adapt. I think those are the key things which I believe, if you are making up your mind and you have an open mind, you'll be able to be a good volunteer, couple of the skills that you have.
Well, thank you very much, Brahima Lahai, for joining us on The Spotlight and sharing your stories on Radio Miriah.
Thank you very much, and I'm very, very grateful for the opportunity.
This is The Spotlight program on Radio Miriah, a show that highlights UN volunteers in South Sudan. And our guest today was Brahima Lahai, who shared his amazing story. Now we have come to the end of the show. My name is Helen Toby. Goodbye.
The Spotlight. It's a radio show where volunteers share stories of inspiration, share their journey, express their feelings, and tell us all about those who have touched their lives. And we play their favorite music. It is The Spotlight, Fridays 2 to 3 p.m. on Radio Miriah.